An Appeal in Behalf of the Work in Nashville, 1905. I have an earnest appeal to make in behalf of the work in Nashville. Our workers there have labored long and earnestly to proclaim the truth. Their way has been beset by difficulties, and many times they have become almost discouraged. But they have not given up, and God has blessed them. Recently, in the providence of God, an opportunity came to them to purchase a good house of worship for $5,000. They took advantage of the opportunity, for they were greatly in need of a meeting house. The price asked for this church was $5,000, and the brethren will soon need the money to pay for it. I ask you, my brethren and sisters, to help Brethren Butler and Haskell all you can, and give them all the encouragement possible. Do not let these servants of God be put to confusion. The house of worship that has been purchased was greatly needed. For a long time, the believers in Nashville have been meeting for worship in a room in the office. Who will now enter heartily into the work of helping to pay for this church? I am instructed that there is a great work to be done in a short time. The work in the southern field is not advancing as fast as it should. There are many cities that need to be worked. Personal efforts must be made by men and women who are wholly consecrated to God. The souls that Satan has hypnotized are to be aroused. The spell that he has cast over them is to be broken. Our church members need to arouse and work for God, studying His Word and praying earnestly for guidance. As they do this, God will give them light. My brethren and sisters, you have a voice. You have reason. You have capabilities in a greater or lesser degree. And the Lord calls upon you to work for those in darkness. Visit your neighbors and show an interest in the salvation of their souls. Arouse every spiritual energy to action. Tell those whom you visit that the end of all things is at hand. The Lord Jesus will open the door of their hearts and will make upon their minds lasting impressions. Keep up the work. Be laborers together with God. Go forth two and two into the harvest field. Let not church members be so busy about their own affairs that they have no time to work for the Lord. Let not our sisters spend precious hours adorning their own and their children's clothing. How much more pleasing to God it would be were that time spent in opening the Word of God to those who know it not. In your work, you may find some who are sick. Do what you can to relieve them. As you minister to their physical needs and at the same time break to them the bread of life, your efforts in their behalf will make more impression upon them than many ordinary sermons would. In your ministry for these sin-sick souls, apply the remedy found in your Bible. When opportunity offers, describe the willingness of Christ to hear the prayers offered to Him in sincerity and faith. It may be that your efforts will gain a soul for Christ. Strive to arouse men and women from their spiritual insensibility. Tell them how you found the Lord Jesus and how blessed you have been since you gained an experience in His service. Tell them what blessing comes to you as you sit at the feet of Jesus and learn precious lessons from His Word. Tell them of the gladness and joy that there is in the Christian faith. Your warm, fervent words will convince them that you have found the pearl of great price. Let your cheerful, encouraging words show them that you have certainly found the higher way. This is genuine missionary work, and as it is done, many will awake as from a dream. Church members, let the light shine forth. Let your voices be heard in witness against the amusements of the world and in the proclamation of the truth for this time. The money that you have invested in worldly business is now to be invested in the work of God. Money is a talent entrusted to men to be used for God. Will you allow the tempter to lead you to invest your money in worldly enterprises, while God is asking you to use it in advancing the work of soul saving? Your voice, your influence, your time, all these are gifts from God to be used in winning souls to Christ. My sisters, do not dress fashionably. Christ is your pattern. He could have come to our world clothed in his royal robes, but he came in poverty and humiliation. Do not try to make a display in dress. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Matthew 16, verse 24. So shall he be my disciple. See John 15, verse 8. Self-indulgence and conformity to the world are always at variance with the principles of the gospel of Christ. Save your pennies and your dimes, and you will have something to give to the Lord. Do not spend money to make a display in dress, for it is needed in the Lord's work. Whose adorning, Peter writes, let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair, and of wearing of gold, or of putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. 1 Peter 3, verse 3-4. Our work has been outlined. Over and over again we are to repeat the words of Christ. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Matthew 28, verse 19-20. This commission is never to lose its force upon the minds of the believing people of God. Into the darkness of sin, the light of truth is to shine forth, that the darkness may be expelled. Those who reflect light will receive more light to reflect. New power will be brought into the church. God's people are to be light bearers to those in darkness. Let companies of Christian workers unite to help the needy and to proclaim the truth for this time. As they labor with self-sacrifice for the sake of others, denying themselves that which heretofore they have indulged but have not really needed, they are God's helping hand. The Lord calls upon his people to arouse out of sleep. The end of all things is at hand. When those who know the truth will be laborers together with God, the fruits of righteousness will appear. By the revelation of the love of God in missionary efforts, many will be awakened to see the sinfulness of their own course of action. They will see that, in the past, their selfishness has disqualified them to be laborers together with God. The exhibition of the love of God, as seen in unselfish ministry for others, will be the means of leading many souls to believe the Word of God just as it reads. God desires to refresh his people by the gift of the Holy Spirit, baptizing them anew in his love. There is no need for a dearth of the Holy Spirit in the church. After Christ's ascension, the Holy Spirit came upon the waiting, praying, believing disciples with a fullness and power that reached every heart. In the future, the earth is to be lightened with the glory of God. A divine influence is to go forth to the world from those who are sanctified through the truth. The earth is to be encircled with an atmosphere of grace. The Holy Spirit is to work on human hearts, taking the things of God and showing them unto men. Christ came to this earth, his divinity clothed with humanity, that humanity might touch humanity and divinity lay hold upon the throne of God. In our behalf, he becomes subject to all the temptations of Satan and placed himself in the power of those who clamored for his life and crucified him as a malefactor. His death on the cross was an exhibition of the unselfishness of God. Infinite benevolence poured out all heaven's treasures in this one gift to rescue man from Satan's power. Through the revelation of the love of God on the cross of Calvary, the real character of the work of Satan and his agencies was demonstrated. It was shown what power would have ruled the world had not God interposed in our behalf, and, by the sacrifice of his only begotten Son, rescued human beings from the power of the enemy. This great sacrifice was made to save the world. The message of salvation is not to be proclaimed in a few places only. Throughout the earth it is to be sounded forth. Those who know not the gospel are in the darkness of unbelief. They know not God. Why is the church so indolent, so selfish, so weak? Why do the members not make earnest efforts to proclaim the message of mercy, that others may know the joy of salvation through Christ?